Would you remain standing as I read our passage tonight? 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. If you want to follow along, that's on page 959. Paul is writing to Corinth, a gifted church, a wealthy church, but a conflicted church. He's written about their struggle for unity, their competition over whose spiritual gifts are the most important, the way that they fail to celebrate the Lord's Supper in a way that considers what they're doing and each other. And so now he addresses them by providing for them a metaphor of who they are as the church. Let's read together 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with the members of Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let me just pray for our time of reflection. Gracious God, thank you for your word. Bless it to us as we spend some moments in reflection upon it. This we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. I want to start our time reflecting on this passage by reading from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together. You may be familiar with it, but if not, Bonhoeffer lived during the rise of the Nazis in Germany, where the church came under persecution and those that confessed the true religion were persecuted such that they had to form independent seminaries and churches. And so he wrote in this work about the community life and how they sought to organize their life around Christ. I want to read two paragraphs to you, so just listen to what he has to say. Whoever cannot be alone should beware of community. Such people will only do harm to themselves and to the community. Alone you stood before God when God called you. Alone you had to obey God's voice. Alone you had to take up your cross, struggle, and pray. And alone you will die and give an account to God. You cannot avoid yourself, for it is precisely God who has singled you out. If you do not want to be alone, you are rejecting Christ's call to you, and you can have no part in the community of those who are called. He goes on to say, but the reverse is also true. Whoever cannot stand being in community should beware of being alone. You are called into the community of faith. The call was not meant for you alone. You carry your cross, you struggle, and you pray in the community of faith, the community of those who are called. You are not alone even when you die. And on the day of judgment, you will be only one member of the great community of faith of Christ Jesus. On the one hand, Bonhoeffer warns those who struggle to be alone before God. He says, if you struggle to be alone, if you struggle to get fulfillment from God, if you struggle to sit under God by yourself, beware of community. Because if you can't sit alone with God, you can't expect community to provide what you want. But conversely, if you struggle to be in community, if you struggle to be with other believers, if fellowship is difficult for you, beware of running to be alone. Beware of trying to solve your problems with the community by withdrawing from it. Paul addresses some similar themes as he deals with the Corinthians in our passage this evening. They spend a lot of time together fellowshipping. They do a lot. They are full of many gifts, but they struggle to know how to use those gifts. Some think that their gifts allow them to walk into great sin without accountability. Others fail to love each other. And so he gives them this image of the body, of what they are meant to be, the body of Christ. A few things that I want us to consider as we look at this passage. First, that if we are one body, one with many members, in one spirit, baptized into one body, then you are indispensable to the body of Christ. You are indispensable to the body of Christ. Verse 14 says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it wouldn't make it any less a part of the body." If we struggle to be in community sometimes, if we come into God's church and we struggle to know, well, where's my place? How is my gifting to be used? What is my particular situation in the church? If there is not appropriate guidance, or if the church looks different from us and these people seem to know what's going on, or these people have their place of service, and this type of gift seems to be valued in the church, we can begin to tell ourselves, well, maybe I don't belong. If we don't feel like we are being appreciated, if we feel like we're not encouraged, if we feel like we are too different, we can begin to say, maybe the body doesn't need me. Paul reminds the Corinthians that just because you are a member different from the other members does not mean that you don't belong, but God has made the body of many different members with many different gifts. The body is not supposed to be looking all one way. We're not supposed to all have the same gifts, the same experience, the same place in life. You have a unique purpose within the body, not to be like everyone else within it. But the ultimate reason that you are indispensable to the body is not so that you can say, well, I balance it because I have this ethnicity and I make the church more diverse, or I have this gift that no one else does, or I can allow this to happen. No, it's not our utility that makes us indispensable to church. It's the fact that God has put us in the church. Jesus doesn't call us because we are gifted, but he gifts us because we're called. Brothers and sisters, whether or not you know how you fit in with this congregation or other Christian fellowships that you are a part of, you are indispensable to that Christian community because Jesus has called you. He has placed you in that community. Verse 18 says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose." And so when we feel maybe unappreciated or unfulfilled or uncertain. When we look at the body and don't know if the body sees us the way that we want to see or values us the way we want to be valued, look instead from the body to Christ and Jesus' choice to include you in his family, to baptize you, and to give you his Spirit. If you are indispensable to the body of Christ because Christ has made you a part of his body, though, then the converse is true. The body of Christ is indispensable to you. He tells us we can't say we don't belong if we're not like the other body parts. But then verse 21, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Sometimes churches, like any other community, can get caught up in what we're accomplishing, can get caught up in our numbers, can get caught up in false senses of unity that confuse being the same with being united. But here we are reminded that all parts of the body, the strong and the weak, the honorable and the dishonorable, they all are meant to be part of the body of Christ. The church is necessary for us. We don't get to pick and choose those parts of the church that we think are important. In fact, so strongly is this the sense that he says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The parts of the body that we think we don't need, we really do. It's taken hundreds of years, but scientists and biologists and physicians are only just now beginning to understand that the appendix has some role in our body. It doesn't just get inflamed and infected and need to be cut out. It actually has a role to play, though they're still discovering the particularities of that. The fact that they don't necessarily see on first glance what that role is doesn't change that fact. And as we look at people around us in our own church communities and in the broader church community, we might be tempted to say, that person is so difficult. That person is so needy. That person is so immature. I just don't like that person. The church can do without that person. And we don't do this normally through overt rejection. It's just not paying them much attention, not treating them as if they are necessary. Brothers and sisters, I confess that I fall into this temptation. I can prioritize, well, I need to invest in leaders, or I need to invest in these people, or these people are particularly needy, and so I overlook others. But we're told in this passage that every member is indispensable. And it's not because we always understand what their gift is. He says the weaker are indispensable. The less honorable we bestow greater honor on. The unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Perhaps the most important reason that the other members of the body of Christ are indispensable to us is because they help us do what the body of Christ is meant to do, which is glorify Christ. And what does Christ do? His power is made perfect in our weakness. He covers the shame of our sin and guilt with his perfect record. Instead of defeating us in our sins and shaming us, he gives us the glory of being called sons of God. We might be able to identify some that have gifts of leadership, some that have gifts of organization, some that have financial gifts, some that have gifts of encouragement and service, and so on. But brothers and sisters, whether or not we know the gifts and the purposes and the callings and the blessings of the members, just as God has given you to the body, God has given the body to you that you might glorify him. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all are the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. If you are in Christ, he has given you to the body, and he has given the body to you. Let's pray. Lord, the body of Christ, the church, is a gift. Sometimes, Lord, we only see the logistics, we only see the costs, we only see the difficulties, or we choose to only see our successes, we only want to see the ways that we win and accomplish our goals. But Lord, being the church, being united in Christ, is what you want from the body. Help us to live for Christ, united in the Spirit that he has given us, and to show the value of being a part of the church of Christ and the way that we love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.